what a race. What a race. How many of you would like to run? Ah, we have a lot of runners in here. And that's a good thing, because our life, the lives we live here, we are called to run a race. Can I have that, please? Yeah, we are called to run a race. So the title of the message is, Finish the Race. Finish the Race. So, a lot of people like to run, but have you ever taken part in a race? Anybody? Any of you young people? Wow, man. I have a lot of athletes in here. I'm discovering things I never knew. Who knows about the Olympics? Everyone knows about the Olympics? Yes, so I think anything in the Olympics that probably draws more interest, are the athletics, the races that, you know, like whether it's 100 meter or the 1500 meter or whatever the race might be. And the history of the Olympics is, you know, we can draw a lot of, there are a lot of inspiring stories over the years that have taken place. We see athletes who show themselves to be true heroes by they're taking part in a race, and maybe somebody might have fallen down and somebody stopped to help that person, or whatever it is that they might be doing, helping others. And we see people suffering setbacks, and yet they don't allow that to stop them from continuing in the race. There are incidents where people have fallen down and they have gotten back up, and they continue despite their injuries to finish the race. So I'm going to start this afternoon by showing a video clip of a guy by the name of Derek Redmond. He was an athlete who represented the United Kingdom in the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and he fell down during this race. So we just show that clip now for you. Is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Raise me up.
Yes, feel free to clap. Feel free to clap. I don't know how many times I've watched this, and each time I watch it, it does something to me. I mean, it's, and obviously, I think the story has touched some of you too. And it just reminds me of our walk, our life as Christians. I mean, we are in a race. We're not really competing with anyone to win the race. The object, brethren, the object to you young people, the object to all of us, is simply to finish the race. You know, we're not really competing against anyone to see who's going to get there first. It's just to get to that finish line and still have everything together. And so, what I want to do today is to just use this analogy that the Bible uses of the Christian life as a race that we all are participating in and endeavoring to finish this race. Because at the end of this race, when we reach that finish line, there is a reward for each and every one who completes the race, who finishes the race, who reaches that finish line. You know, in the race in this life, and just like in this competition, actually, I read something else. Even though he got this standing ovation from the crowd at the Olympic Committee, they determined that he did not finish the race because he had some assistance from his father. But the important thing is that he persisted. He did not give up. Despite the agonizing pain that he experienced, a hamstring injury, he continued right to the finish line. And we saw the help he got from his father. I mean, that was the most amazing thing. His father saw his son in this agony and he wanted him to complete the race. He broke through security to go out there to help him. It reminds me so much, brethren, as we go along this race of life, we will fall down many times. But we have a Father who loves us. He gives us a shoulder to cry on. We can, and Jesus Christ is there for us to help us to finish this race. To give us all the help we need that we can stay in the race and go through to the finish line. Can't think of a more beautiful picture than that. God coming by to help us to finish the race. Now, what are some of the elements, if we think of this analogy of the Christian life as a race, what are some of the elements, what are some of the things that are involved in this race? Anybody? What do you see? Like, who are the participants in the race? What are we racing for? Where's the finish line and so on? Anyone? Any elements that you see there? All right. Let me try to help then. There are participants in this race. Who are the participants in the race? I'm asking some of our young people. In the Christian race, the race of life, who are the participants? Who are the people taking part in this race? We are. Exactly. What about the track on which we are running? What is this track? Anybody? Track of life. Yes, exactly. Our daily life is actually, that's the track we are running on. Every day we get up and we face life. That's the race we're in. The destination, where are we heading to? I didn't hear that. Exactly. That's where we're heading for, the finish line, the kingdom of God. There's a judge also, you know, like in the Olympics, they have people judge the races and to see that people are competing by the standards, the rules, and so on. Who is that judge? Micah? Yes, God, Jesus Christ. And what is the prize, you know, when people take part in a race? Okay, Micah, I see you're anxious. Tell me. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Michael. So I know you will finish this race and you will get your prize. And I encourage all of you to get in the race and to finish the race. Yes, we are not competing against anyone, but we are aiming for that prize. When we get to that finish line, to get that prize, that reward of eternal life and rulership in the kingdom of God. And like most races, most competition, there's always an audience. There's always an audience, people watching as we race along. Who's the audience? All right, let's try somebody else. And then if we don't get an answer from one of the others, then we'll... The world? Yes, exactly. Joseph, can think of anybody else who might be in the audience as we race along? Can't think of none. Okay. Okay, Micah, you're anxious. Oh yes, that's a very good answer. Everyone, did you hear what he said? The audience is everyone else who is not participating in the race. That's a very good answer. Because when we think about it, the race we are in, Christianity, the walk that we are called, the race that we are called to run, it's not a spectator sport. In other words, none of us here are in that audience. We are all participants in the race. You know, you don't have the luxury of standing by the sideline and watching while everybody else is racing. We are all called to participate in this race, to be active participants. We don't have the luxury of standing by and say, oh, I'm watching. Oh, man, he's racing well. That's not what it's all about. It's for you to get in there, do your part, stay in your lane, and run your race. And go to that finish line. But you know, as we race, just as we saw with Derek there, sometimes life throws us unexpected things. We may fall down on the track, suffer an injury, somebody may run into us, whatever it might be. There are all kinds of dangers that we face. Dangers, distractions, delays, and devils along the way. So let's look for a moment at some of these things, some of the obstacles that we might face as we run the race. Yeah, the race we are running is a difficult one, and we're beset by many dangers from without and from within. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're not going to read all of that, but 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25 through 27, the Apostle Paul talks about the perils that we face as we run this race. You know, dangers from without, dangers from within, people coming against us, persecution, all kinds of things. So let's read in Hebrews chapter 10. A little bit of this. Hebrews 10 verse 32 and 33. Hebrews 10 verse 32 and 33. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 32 and 33. It says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings." Yes. The race... And to the finish line, there'll be a lot of struggling. There'll be a lot of sufferings that we have to go through. Other scripture talks about it, that it's through much tribulation that we'll actually enter into the kingdom. It says, "Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions to those who were so treated." And so we suffer together in this race. We suffer persecution from outside. Everyone else who is not called to be in this race at this time can actually cause problems for us. And then, of course, we have an adversary, Satan the devil, who seeks to persecute us and to lay stumbling blocks in our way. You know, you want to run and you want to run unhindered. You don't want obstacles in your way, but the devil often throws obstacles in your way. He will throw things to trip you up. To let you fall down, to stop you from finishing this race. At other times, other obstacles that we face, other distractions, is that we sometimes we get distracted by the cares of life. All the things that we have to do. And for you young people, what are some of the distractions that you may face?
Homework,
yeah. Games, food, all of those things, yeah. Hanging out with friends, yeah. And maybe the wrong type of friends, right? Because they might want you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. It's no different for us as adults. We have our distractions too. I mean, your parents probably are distracted by the fact that, well, you know, yes.
Candies and sweets.
Yeah. Sometimes you have all these nice, sweet things being dangled in front of you, and you know you should only have so much, or, you know, sometimes it's hard to refuse and to say no. But these are things that we all have to deal with as we run this race. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 talks about the cares of this life. So sometimes the things that might distract us are not necessarily bad things. You talk about homework. Homework is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, you do homework to practice what you have learned in school. But sometimes what happens is that, yes, you also know that you need to take time to spend with God. But sometimes the pressure can be so hard. Boy, I need to do this homework. And you forget, oh, well, what about praying? What about spending a little time to read in some of the Word? I mean, I congratulate you kids for the scripture reading and the memory verses that you gave here. I'm sure it took some time to look at these, to read it, and to try to memorize it, and to actually learn these things. And so you could have been doing something else. And so it calls sometimes for making sacrifices, for giving up something in order that you might have something else. And so there are distractions that we have to deal with, like the cares of life. As I said, these are legitimate things. Your parents have to think about working and providing food and clothing and shelter for you. And in the process of doing this, sometimes they have to balance that with their relationship with God, you know, finding time for the prayer and finding time for the meditation and the Bible study, spending time with God. And sometimes, you end up trying to make choices as to what do I do now. So that was Luke 21 verse 34. Another distraction, another obstacle that we often face in the race is that we sometimes have a tendency to run towards things that we should be running away from. You know, and I was starting here, they called me up to do the sermon. I should be running in this direction, but I ended up going in another direction, just like Jonah did. God called him to do something, to take a message to Nineveh. But what did Jonah do? Instead of running towards Nineveh, instead of running to do what God called him to do, he was heading in the complete opposite direction. And sometimes that happened to us. Sometimes that happened to us as young people. Do you think that God might be calling any of you to walk in a certain direction? And are you feeling a pull to go in the opposite direction? Be honest. Does it ever happen? Do you ever feel that way? Like, no? Oh, that's good. Very good. Very, very good that you never feel that way. So that what I expect then is that you'll be following this way for the rest of your life. But it does happen. That does happen. It says, for instance, let's read a few scriptures here. Because one of the things that often distracts people is the pursuit of wealth, material things. You know, we all need money and so on to live a comfortable life in this world. But sometimes that pull to get the material things, whether it's, you know, money or the things that money can buy, can become so overwhelming that it draws you away from what you should really be focusing on. Having your eyes on God, looking to Him, serving Him, honoring Him. So let's read here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 12. First Timothy 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You know, we live in a world that we are bombarded with all kinds of things, especially like advertisement. You have your phone, you go to research something, and you see all these ads popping up. Buy this, buy that, do this. If you want to develop these muscles, then you ought to take this, and you ought to do this. And, you know, there's all kinds of things crying out for your attention. you should be concentrating on one thing, and you are being sold something else. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. The world in which we live tries to sell us all kinds of things. Acquire this, you need more, you need this, you need that. But it says here that having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. When you think about it, all we really need are the basic necessities of life. Yeah, we need extra things, yes. But a lot of things we can do without. It's very hard to do without food. Because if you don't have food, pretty soon you go hungry and you might die. If you don't have the things to protect your body, same applies. It says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But then look at verse 9, what it says. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And so if we make the pursuit of riches be the be-all and the end-all, this is what could end up happen to us. We could end up suffering for it. Yeah, my wife was showing me a video recently. This guy was, a young guy, was giving a message. And he was on this treadmill. And he says, you know, you're on this treadmill and you probably set it to go at like a three miles per an hour. And you're there and you're going like this. But you suddenly decide that, well, oh, you know, this is too slow for me. So you want to speed it up. And you decide to speed, and you're going fast. I mean, God has set a speed for you at which you should be going. But you decide, you know, that's too slow for me. This is not getting me anywhere. So I want to go faster. And so you're running faster than God has set the speed for you. It is only going that fast, but pretty soon you wear yourself out. It's like, for instance, many people said, you know, they just want money. They just want money. They just want more and more money. And so to do that, it might mean doing more work or putting in extra hours, working long hours to get more money. And then pretty soon what happened? Because the desire to gain so much takes so much out of you. You end up getting sick. And so the extra money you earn now has to go into paying medical bills in order for you to restore your health. You know, so it just doesn't make sense. Those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It says, for the love of money, there's nothing wrong with money per se, and there's nothing wrong with having money. But when that becomes the be-all and the end-all, when our love is for money, and rather instead of for people, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's just something, one of the dangers that we face. Another danger that we face, and you will face as young people, and it's all around you, is sexual sin, sexual immorality. Let's read, can someone read for me 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. If you have it on your phone or if it comes up on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Are you reading it? All right, if you can't find it, then... Someone find it? Immorality. Yeah. Immorality. Right.
Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, so... you're going to find, and I'm sure as you grow older into teenage and get a little bit older and older, you're going to find that people are going to put that kind of a temptation in your way to engage in sex outside of marriage relationship or viewing all kinds of things that you shouldn't be looking at. And so these are some of the distractions, these are some of the pitfalls, these are some of the things that could actually delay you from finishing the race. Now, the challenge for us, challenge for me, the challenge for you, the challenge for all of us, is how can we actually finish the race? Just as Derek did, he got back up, he fell down, but he got back up and continued in the race. How can we finish the race victoriously? How can we finish the race? And I'm just going to ask some, you know, for your opinion. I have my stuff here that I'll share with you, but what are some of the things we can do in order to finish the race successfully and gain the prize? Emily?
Believe in God's word.
Hmm?
Believe in God's word.
Absolutely. Believe in God's word. That's one thing you can do.
Pray.
Pray, yes, absolutely. And pray regularly. Micah?
Read the Bible.
Anybody else?
Ask for help.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because sometimes as you're racing, you know, you may get tired. Just as Derek there, he suffered an injury. He didn't ask for it, but help came to him. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you to help you to finish the race. Anybody else? Nee?
Put in God first,
yes. So you make Him be your object. That is the pursuit, your goal. Anyone else? Emily again. Follow God's commandments. Thank you very much. Because as we heard, you actually went through them earlier today, quoting the commandments. So these are all things we can do in order to finish the race. All right, now I'm going to share some of what I have here. And some of it you have already said yourself. You know, whatever you're doing. Oh, sorry.
I wanted to say, to get up when you fall down.
To get up when you fall down.
We will fall down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Please get up when we fall down.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture there maybe we should read. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. I had it here, but I stepped over it. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. It says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times." But is that the end of it? He says, "He falls seven times and rise again." Just as Derek did. He fell in the race. But he did not just stay down on the track and said, you know, I give up. I mean, I've fallen, I've torn my hamstring, it's over, I might as well, this is the end of it. It says, he rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. And so we always have to remember that yes, we will fall along the way, but it's not a fall. What matters is the getting back up and continuing in the race. You know, anything that you do, you need to prepare for it. So, we're talking about race. If you see me put this on, and you see me with these, what does it suggest that I'm about to do, or what's happening? Getting cold? Emily?
You're entering Canada?
Yeah, it's a cold place. Yeah, it suggests it's cold, and maybe what it might also suggest, I have this on, I'm also probably getting ready to go shovel some snow or something. If I were going to run a race, is it likely that I'd be putting on something like this? In my suit and tie and all this kind of stuff? No. In fact, one of the conditions, one of the things that will ensure that you do finish the race, it says that you throw off anything that is a hindrance or an encumbrance to you. If you want to finish the race, don't saddle yourself down with things which will hold you back or stop you from finishing the race. As a matter of fact, we read that in the scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 4. I'd like one of the young people to read that for me. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 4. I'll turn my scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. You see, if you don't have the right tools, everything gets in your way. I'm trying to turn the page. This is not the thing you'd put on if you want to turn pages. You'd actually take it off. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Yes, Nate.
But therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, you can stop there. You can stop there. Thank you, Nee. Yes, so it says to lay aside, take off all these things that will be a hindrance and an encumbrance to you. You can't run a race effectively if you're dressed up in a formal suit. You take these things off. You put on your shorts and your t-shirt. You put on your track shoes. You put on the things that will enable you to run effectively, to run without being encumbered, to run without being burdened down. He says, lay those things aside. Put them off if you want to run the race successfully. In other words, you have to suit yourself for the job that you're doing. Laying them aside. Every weight, anything that would weigh you down, it says to put those things off. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it shows you some of the things, and these have to do with our heart, that we have to put off if we want to run that race successfully. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm in 2 Peter. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So anything that would stop you from finishing the race successfully as a Christian, whether it's envy or jealousy. And that's why it says, that's why I keep emphasizing that in this race, you're not competing against anybody else. We're all participants in the race. And so there's no room for envying another person who's also running in the race. Because as long as you finish the race, as long as I finish the race, I will receive the prize. So I don't have to be envious of anybody, whether they're running faster than me or not. You know, because in this race, we have different abilities, different talents, different gifts. Some are marathon runners. And so as a marathon runner, their style will be different from somebody who's a sprinter. Maybe God has called you to be a sprinter. So for you, the emphasis is on speed. Speed and speed. For the marathon runner, it's the endurance and the strength. If a marathon runner just decides, well, you know, I have 1500 meters to run or 10K to run, and he just shoots up out of the block and just dash off like that, he probably would not end up finishing the race, because pretty soon he would get tired. When there are the nine kilometers to go, before he finishes one, he'd probably just drop down. The sprinter, yes, If that's what you're called to do, just to be a sprinter, then it means the speed has to be there, out of the blocks, because it's a short distance. And we're all called to run a race. But we have to run in our lane what God has called us to run. Not looking over at somebody else and saying, oh, this one is such a fast runner. Or this one, you know, just concentrate on what God has called you to do. The other thing is that we also have to train persistently and regularly. Train persistently and regularly. Any athlete who expects to take part in a race, you don't just get up one day and say, oh, I'm going to run the 1500 meter today. It takes time practicing, practicing, practicing. Let's turn to, go back to the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verses 7 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. It says, But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. To finish the race, there's a need to exercise. What kind of exercise? It says, exercise godliness, a godlike way of living. It's something that we have to practice day and night. Every day. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Yes, physical exercise has its place and it's essential. But it says it profits a little. But godliness, on the other hand, is profitable for all things. So do you really want to finish this race? Make your object be to pursue godliness, godlike way of living. Because it says that it's profitable for all things. And it says having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Some of the physical things that we may wish to pursue in this life are only for this life. But we have to look beyond that. We have to look beyond that, the life which is yet to come. That we are exercising godly living. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 also talks about this discipline that we need. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so you have a blessing now, young people, that you come to church, you hear the word of God explained, you hear it in your home as your parents teach you. You have the privilege, you have a blessing to know what is right from what is wrong. Your peers, your friends might tell you, oh, you know, you can do this and you can do that and this is enjoyable, let's go do this. And yes, it might be enjoyable for a while, but then afterwards it brings suffering. You have the privilege to know that, well, yes, this is not something that I should pursue. This is not a way that I should go if I want to have a truly happy and a blessed life. I remember Emberly talked about learning the commandments. So one of the other things in terms of training persistently and regularly is learning the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from his mouth, he said, but he would meditate on it day and night. Meditate on the word of God, it says, day and night. Why? Because it says, when you do this, it says, you will have good success. So do you really want to succeed? Does anyone want to succeed? Any of you young people? Oh, some of you don't. Yeah, some of you not sure if you want to succeed. You want to be a success? If you truly want to be successful, make God your number one priority and pursuing a relationship with Him. Because, you see, He is able to help you. Just as Derek's father was there, able to help him when he fell down to finish the race. God promises he will be there for you to help you finish the race, give you all the help you need to succeed in your schoolwork, to succeed in your choice of career, to succeed in your career when you actually get onto that path, to succeed in having a happy marriage and family. All of these things, God is able to help you. But you have to put him first. You have to make him your number one priority. What about this thing, if you're an athlete and you wander in the race and your friends would say, let's go party, it's Friday night, or let's go party, let's go drink it up and let's go do all these things. Do you think that would be a good thing if you really want to win a race? No. It wouldn't work. Because one of the things that an athlete has to do is to exercise what is called self-control. Exercise self-control. There's a beautiful scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one person receives the prize?" Yes, the race, if we think about a race in this physical life, like the Olympics or an athletic meet, when you have a race, only one person is going to get the prize for winning the race. And of course, you might have a second prize and third prize and so on. But not so in the race to which we are called. It says you should run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or moderate in all things. In other words, you don't go to extremes. You don't go to the extreme of, I can do anything I want. I can stay up late every night, or I can go here and I can do this. I can overeat and I can drink alcohol and all these things and just party, party, party. It says, no. If you take that approach, you won't be successful. You won't win in the race of life. You won't attain the prize. It says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. In ancient Olympics, what they would do, nowadays they have prizes of, gold for first prize. And what do they give for second prize? Micah?
Silver.
And third prize?
Bronze,
right. So they get medals. In ancient times, when someone won a race, they would give them they'd make this wreath that they'd put around their head. It's like a crown that they'd crown them with. That's what they would get. No gold, no silver, but a wreath that they'd have over their head. On their head. It says that of course would soon fade. The leaves that they used to make it would soon become dry and, pretty much they'd have to throw that away. But it says for us, when we run in this race of life, the crown that we will get is something that will never fade away. Because as Micah said earlier, the prize for which we are running is eternal life. It will never end. And as Nee prayed earlier in his prayer about coming into this spirit body, this physical body will go. But we will have a spirit body which will never die, which will never get sick, which will never get old. It says, therefore I run thus, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, therefore I run in this way, not with uncertainty. So in other words, you must know where you're going. We must know where we are going, running towards that goal of the kingdom of God. Don't run with uncertainty. It says, thus I fight not as if one was beating the air. It's like a boxer. Here it brings another sports example. It's not like you're boxing and, you're just punching and punching and punching. You don't know what you're punching at. It says, do it in such a way that you do it with purpose, with certainty. It says, and note this verse now, verse 27. It says, but I discipline my body. I discipline my body. And bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so to win that race, it calls for discipline. it calls for bringing our body into subjection. The body might be saying, hey, I want to go and do all these things, these fun things. But those fun things could actually make you end up being sick. Those fun things could actually wear you down. So you can't really compete in the race. So you can't finish the race. So you have to say to your body, yes, body, you want to do this. But you know what? If I do that, it's going to injure me. It's going to stop me from finishing the race. And you say no to those desires that the body, the mind is saying he wants to do that or whatever. Good athletes practice self-denial. So we have to be willing to deny ourselves certain things and restrain ourselves from engaging in other things in order that we may keep in right physical shape to finish the race. And some of those things we find as we are dealing this series on this fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, tells us some of those things that we should be pursuing. And before that, the works of the flesh, the things that we should be avoiding. The next thing that to finish the race that we need to do and to finish victoriously is to endure hardship and play by the rules. Endure hardship and play by the rules. Let's turn to 2 Timothy again, verses 3 to 5. 2 Timothy, verses 3 to 5. I have the right scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 to 5. It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. And so this is another example that Paul uses, the example of a soldier. In this case, instead of an athlete. But even an athlete also has to be willing to endure hardships. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And so if you want to take it as the athlete example, any athlete who expects to finish the race cannot just go and do like what anybody else is doing. You have to play by the rules. You have to do the things which will ensure that you have all that you need to finish the race. And Psalm 119, verse 32 to 37. Psalm 119, verse 32 to 37 gives us the rules, the things that we should go by and live by in order to finish this race. Psalm 119, verse 32 to 37. Psalm 119. It says, I will run in the way of your commandments. And we talked about Jonah a few minutes ago when God called him to go warn Nineveh to repent. Jonah wasn't running in the way of God's commandments. He was running in the opposite direction. But David here says, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with all my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. So we have to pray and ask God to help us to walk in his way, to walk in the direction, in his path of his commandments, not in the opposite direction. And so I pray this prayer and, you know, and a blessing upon you, our young people. Because you face all kinds of challenges, just as adults face challenges. You'll face challenges. You have the challenges you have to deal with your peers, people who believe differently from you. Challenges you have to face with maybe even teachers who are supposed to be teaching you the right way, but they end up, because of their belief systems, they would teach you things which are completely contrary to what this word says, to what the Bible says as to how to live. Values that are completely different from what you have been imparted to you by your parents. And so my prayer is that, you know, even as Jacob prayed for Ephraim and Manasseh, that he prayed that, you know, that they would be blessed. My prayer is that God would bless all of you. That he would bless all of you, that you walk in his way, that you choose his way of life. And I found these words in something I was reading here. It says, the reason for praying for God to bless you young people is that despite being surrounded by a sea of questionable ethics, because you know you face it every day. Your parents tell you one thing, you hear the commandments: do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not engage in sexual sins, flee sexual immorality. And yet you go to school and you hear something completely different. You can do whatever you want, as long as it feels good. Values which are completely different from what you learn here, from what you learn at home. Then the prayer, our prayer is that despite being surrounded by the sea of questionable ethics and morality, that you will grow up to be of good character. That's my prayer. And that should be the prayer of every parent, that your children will grow up to be people of good character, holding on to faith in the one true God, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and that you resist negative peer pressure and immorality of the society in which you live, and that instead you hold on to the true values that you have been taught from the Word of God. Just one more thing in terms of finishing the race successfully, and that is to follow God's plan for your life and go at his pace. Follow God's plan for your life and go at his pace. God has a plan for each and every one of us. As I said earlier, for some we are called to be sprinters. Some are called to be marathon runners. Whatever it is that God has called you to do and is showing you, go at the pace that he calls you to go. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. It says in verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and on those who have no might, he increases strength. Right now you are young people. And maybe you feel very strong, you know. You get older, you probably don't feel that. You won't feel as strong as you are. As the body, you know, our bodies wear down. And we don't have all the strength and the vitality and vigor that we have when we were younger. It says, but God increases strength. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. And we see a lot of that. We see so many young people just falling by the waysides, sadly, to suicide. And I don't know, maybe in your school, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of the people you know, have committed suicide. They have ended their lives because they just gave up. They didn't see any need in going on. But God has a purpose for you. God wants you to finish this race, and he wants to offer you that prize, that reward at the end of the race. It says, but those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, as you go along this way, as this race of life, you also have to learn to wait upon God. Some of you are not at that age yet, most of you, but it's going to come the time when you begin to develop relationships. And as you grow older, if those relationships don't pretty soon end up the way you want it in marriage, you can become frustrated. We see a lot of young people, or young adults, adolescent. They probably say, you know, the clock is ticking and I'm not yet married and I can't find someone and I'm in the church and I'm looking around and I don't see anybody who is interested in me, you know. Maybe I should go outside and find somebody else. You see, these are real challenges that you will face as young people. But it says, those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, God might be saying, wait, not yet. I have somebody in store for you. You may not see that person right here, but God knows who He has prepared for you. We must be willing to wait upon Him and to go at His on His timetable. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7. Because this is something that we also have to do, and that is to commit our ways to Him. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Are there good things that you desire and want to have? It says, delight yourself in God. In other words, let God be your friend. Let Christ be your friend, that you can bring everything to Him. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what you need. Bring all those desires to Him. It says, when you delight yourself in Him and be willing to want to please Him, it says, when you do that, He says, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Then it says, to commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's the assurance that we have. That when we trust God, when we commit our ways to Him, He says, He will work it out for you. He will work it out for you. You want to succeed in school? Commit your ways to God. Trust Him. Pray and ask Him to help you. Your friends are bothering you. They are trying to pull you in the wrong direction. Ask God to help you. And even to change those friends, that they may come to know the truth and do the right thing. See, God calls on us, and especially you. Please listen up. Please. God is calling on you now. God is calling on you, young people, now. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse says, young men and women, young ladies, says, I call on you because you are strong. You're young. You're at an age where you can do so much. You have so much ahead of you. Says, don't wait until you're old and cranky. Old and, you know, you can hardly move. God doesn't want rejects. You know, God doesn't want us when we He wants you now that you have the strength. And I'm telling you, and I'm saying this to you, each and every one of you. And I'm asking you, please, listen to what I'm saying. You're not too young. Well, some of you might be a little bit too young because, but some of you are at that age, and I believe even as teenagers, my belief is that if you reach that age, maybe over 12 or 13, you understand certain things. You know what God expects of you. You know what is right from wrong. You can make a decision to say, yes, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my friend. I'm going to commit my life to Him. So I challenge you, I encourage you to do that. Don't wait, don't put it off, do it now. You won't have anything to regret. You'll have everything to rejoice about. Because God promises, Jesus Christ says He will be your friend. He will be there with you, He will help you, He will protect you, He will provide for you, He will make you to be a success. So you just think about that. If you do that, if you commit your ways to Him and you remain faithful to the end of the race, you will receive not a crown that is going to fade away. You will receive an imperishable crown, a crown of eternal life. James 1 and verse 12, that's what it says. You will receive a crown of what? Eternal life. An imperishable crown. And you will be greeted by those who have already finished the race. Those who have gone ahead of us. They'll be waiting for you on that day when Christ returns. And they will greet you. Christ will greet you with these words. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. God is preparing a kingdom for you, as He's preparing for all of us and all those who love Him and are waiting for His return. If we stay the course, we'll fall down along this course, along this race, but if we pick ourselves back up, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then like the Apostle Paul, we'll be able to say these words from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul said, when he was nearing the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. My prayer is that God will help all of you young people, all of you, and in fact to help all of us to finish this race to which He has called us. May God bless you all.